I'm Tom Murray. You're tuned in to Turn On The News, 3.9's radio show about radio. A daily look at radio art, radio news, sound art, media news, and more. Go to FREE103POINT9.org or newsroom.313.9.org for more information about transmission art, international sources of radio art, radio news, and more. Listening to Turn On The News, 3.9's radio show about radio, a daily look at radio news, video art, sound art, media news, and more. Tonight we're going first to Congress, and we'll see what they think about the future of audio. House Subcommittee on Communications and Technology held a hearing Wednesday, June 6th, called The Future of Audio. And the big discussion was a major record label and a major radio network had just announced a major deal together that, in a different era, might have been called payola, but was trumpeted by most of the members of the committee, not all. They mostly talked about new technologies, about perhaps leveling the playing field between terrestrial FM radio and new emerging technologies like internet radio, which is charged performance fees that FM radio is not. Mostly, though, you'll hear members of Congress attempt to sound hip by quoting the Rolling Stones. This is the future of audio.
Mr. Stearns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you've echoed pretty much what I was going to say. Consumers are listening to music that can be chosen from terrestrial radio, HD radio, Sirius XM, satellite radio, cable, Pandora, live radio, YouTube, iTunes, Vivo, Move Music, Rhapsody, and the list goes on. So I think we have competition. One of our witnesses, Gary Shapiro, states in his testimony, we have rapidly shifted to a growing set of choices with a phenomenal array of devices, products, sources, and services. And I had the opportunity to see this recently at the Consumer Electronics Show. And our witness today represent an important competition in the music space, offering consumers an array of choices and musicians new opportunities to gain new audiences. Gone are the days when consumers are limited to radio and just television, and gone too should be the archaic policies of the old era of prohibiting free market decisions. In today's struggling economy, we're looking at a market that is working, and let's keep it that way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I would now yield to the vice chair of the subcommittee.
Well, I appreciate that as well. Appreciate your college experience. I also DJ, just not on radio, but parties. Of all weddings, and I'll tell you what, in my time when I had to go to Homer's Music to buy vinyl, it's really hard to find the Flying Dutchman and Homer's record back in the 70s and early 80s, but on today's digital world, it's a lot easier. Maya, how things have changed since then, and in fact, my three sons, two of them teenagers, only the oldest even cares what a CD is. The other two don't care. It's all about the digital world. It's about organizing their music as they want it and see it, having the devices necessary to play it. And where it goes, I don't know. but I like it, like the Rolling Stones say. Now, I will say that I am intrigued as well with the contract or agreement between Big Machine and Clear Channel, but I need to work through this a little bit more before I have a level of enthusiasm, because I also remember private contracts between radio stations and record labels. That was called payola. And so I don't know where we're going with this, but it is intriguing, and I'll yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Now recognize the ranking member of the subcommittee from California, Ms. Eshoo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, and welcome to all of the witnesses. More than 90 years ago, Pittsburgh's KDKA launched the nation's first commercial radio broadcast. For decades, AM and FM radio served as the primary source for local news, information, and music for millions of Americans. While I continue to believe that broadcast radio plays an important role in local communities around our country, the Internet has opened up a world of innovation that's driving new business models like on-demand streaming, providing new opportunities for independent musicians, and even expanding the reach of traditional AM and FM stations to audiences not only around the country, but around the world. Many of these innovations are being developed in my congressional district in Silicon Valley. Last year, I had an opportunity to visit a Palo Alto startup known as TuneIn. It's headquartered in an old plumbing supply store, which I remember going to when my children were small. They had 40 employees when I was there last year. TuneIn has developed a mobile app featuring over 60,000 AM, FM, HD, and Internet radio stations, and an active monthly listener base of more than 30 million people. I mean, that's stunning, just in and of itself. And TuneIn is just one example. Over the past decade, we've seen the emergence of Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music Store, Google Music, and Slacker Radio. The significance of these services is, in fact, quite stunning. Last year, within the United States, 52% of record company revenues came from digital sources. So we need to embrace these innovative technologies and not hinder their growth. The future of audio is about enhancing, in my view, consumer choice, whether at home or on the go using smartphones, tablets, or other portable devices. I've always opposed technology-specific mandates, always, because technology moves at the speed of lightning. Before our ink is even dry, the technology has changed. And for that reason, I've always opposed technology-specific mandates, which is why last year I joined with Representative Issa to introduce the Creativity and Innovation Resolution. The resolution asserts that Congress should not mandate specific technology that limits the way consumers listen to local news, information, and music. The resolution has the rare distinction of being endorsed by CEA, CTIA, and RIAA. And I hope my colleagues will join me in supporting this bipartisan resolution. As consumers increasingly stream audio through their mobile devices, I'm also interested in learning whether data caps impact user behavior. While more often discussed in the context of data intensive video, users who stream just 1 hour per day of high-fidelity audio through a typical online music subscription service can easily exceed the monthly data package offered by many wireless carriers. This is an issue that rests squarely with our subcommittee's jurisdiction, and I think it's important for us to examine this closely. Mr. Chairman, the future of audio looks bright as consumers have a growing array of options, including online music stores, subscription-based services, satellite radio, and HD radio. So thank you for holding this morning's hearing. We have a great panel, and I'm anxious to hear what they have to instruct us. And I welcome the witnesses again, and thank you for holding the hearing. I don't. Does anyone, any of our members want me to yield time? Okay. Yield back, Mr. Chair.
Gentlelady yields Thank back, balance her time. Chair recognizes the chairman of the full committee, the gentleman from Michigan, Mr. Upton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From the radio dramas and fireside chats of the 30s to talk radio and this online streaming of today, audio content has been an integral part of American society for the last century. 20 years ago, the world of audio choices was pretty simple. AM, FM, cassette, CD. The world of audio in 2012 offers so much more. Broadcasters are using digital services to deliver HD radio. Satellites 22,000 miles above the Earth provide subscription radio service to millions of Americans. Technological advances make it possible to carry an entire music library in your pocket, and an increasing number of Americans are streaming music over the Internet to their computers and wireless devices. Not only has the ability to access a world of professional audio content gotten so much easier and more universal, the ability for people around the world to produce and distribute their own works over the Internet has changed major industries. Music, journalism, entertainment, just to name a few. So today we're going to hear from the broadcasters that are innovating, mobile wireless providers that are making access to media ubiquitous, Internet pioneers that are leveraging the Internet to bring users personalized content channels, and professional artists at the center of it all on how this new media frontier is changing their industries and the way that we listen. I'll be particularly curious to hear, as with Chairman Walden, to hear their reaction to yesterday's announcements by Clear Channel and The Big Machine. It looks to me like an agreement that might break the logjam that has plagued this space and help advance online radio. Best of all, it doesn't require legislation or regulation. So I thank the witnesses, and I don't know if any members on my side.
I think Ms. Blackburn.
Ms. Blackburn, yeah, balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to say welcome to all of our witnesses. I enjoy working with each of you on this issue. I think it is vitally important. Audio distribution systems can't be successful without compelling content, and in Nashville, we think that's a really important thing. Likewise, music won't enjoy wide distribution without innovative technologies, and Mr. Shapiro and I continue to have this ongoing discussion. The audio marketplace is constantly evolving, but the music and the technology industries need each other in order to thrive. I believe we can be both pro-intellectual property and pro-innovation. I'm determined that we're going to find a way to do that. And we must be both if we want to grow and be successful. And for our nation's economy, Tennessee's economy, and for our exports, we need to figure this one out. Big Machine Records, which is a Nashville, Tennessee company and a major broadcaster, as Chairman Upton said, did enter into a voluntary agreement with yesterday on the performance rights issue. We are pleased to see that. We're looking forward to more good things. So that the industry does continue to grow in Nashville. We like to say it all starts with the song. We believe it does, and we want to make certain that we figure this one out. Thank you so much. I yield back.
Gentlelady yields back to the chairman. Chairman, do you have anyone else you wanted to yield to? Anyone else on our side? Apparently not. Chairman yields back to balance of his time. Now recognize the former chairman of the committee, the gentleman from California, Mr. Waxman.
Thank you, Chairman Walden, for holding this hearing to examine the future of audio. We live in an era of rapidly changing technologies and consumer behavior. Innovation over the past decade has led to a proliferation of choices in the way consumers access audio content, whether it's new subscription-based streaming services, webcasting, or HD radio offered by traditional over-the-air broadcasters. The dynamic audio marketplace has brought consumers more choices, greater accessibility, and lower prices. As technology advances, it's important that we do not lose sight of the artists, musicians, and songwriters whose work compels consumers to seek out these innovative new services. Thanks to these new technologies, barriers to entering the music market have never been lower, but paradoxically, the number of people who identify themselves as musicians has declined over the last decade. We need to understand why this is happening. Congress has an important role to play in ensuring that singers, songwriters, and other musicians are compensated fairly, both through combating online piracy and ensuring an equitable licensing and royalty system. I'm proud to have co-sponsored the Performance Rights Act during the last Congress. This bill would ensure that musicians are compensated by over-the-air broadcasters for the right to publicly perform their music. As we will hear from some of our witnesses today, the exemption for broadcasters is not only grossly unfair to performing artists, it also creates an unlevel playing field that disadvantages innovative audio services such as Pandora. Whatever the rationale may have been in the past, there is no reason in today's environment that over-the-air broadcasters should be allowed to play music without compensating the artists that perform it. Although we're still learning the full details of the agreement between Clear Channel and Big Machine, I'm encouraged that a major broadcasting group has acknowledged that performing artists should be compensated for their use for their music on over-the-air radio.
Hello. Can you hear me? I'm talking to you, whether you believe me or not. You shouldn't believe me, because my voice is not here or there, it's everywhere. You can't see me. When my voice is audible, you are listening to a strange materialization, as strange as the electromagnetic invisibility of my voice. Perhaps. Perhaps the materialization is even stranger. You hear me, but I am not here. I'm everywhere. And I am 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I cannot count how many voices I am. Me. My voice. I am dispersed. My radio voice is not my voice, if you know what I mean. But then, what are you listening to? My voice does not belong to me. My voice is not my private property, but at the same time, it belongs to nobody. It can never be property. It is not like the commodities that you buy, but it can become yours as a gift. Even then, it is not your voice. It is not private property. It belongs to nobody. Sure, you can tape my voice. You can play it endlessly. You can bootleg this voice. But the voice as a radio voice is more than a taped voice. It's a broadcast, dispersed, an electromagnetic voice. It is more than any recorder can record. It is more than a single person can grasp. It is not one voice that could be recorded. It is one voice in a plurality of uncountable situations.
Time are you listening to Turn on the News, 3103.9's radio show about the radio. That was The Future of Radio Art from Linga, from the Radio Territory CD. Before that, we heard The Future of Audio in the U.S. Congress, a hearing Wednesday, June 6th, in front of the U.S. Congress, called The Future of Audio. It started with Republican Cliff Stearns from Florida, and included several other committee members talking about the future of audio. Ray Bradbury, the author, passed this week, and he has several radio links. Jennifer Waits at Radiosurvivor.com, in fact, rounds up some of his radio passages in Fahrenheit 451, and also mentions his recent Bradbury 13 radio series with from the BBC's Radio 4 Extra. There's also many other, The Martian Chronicles, Dandelion Wine, and other radio versions of his novels. But let's quote Jennifer Waits now at Radiosurvivor.com. She says, Radio Bus should also pick up a copy of Bradbury's novel Fahrenheit 451 in order to see some spot-on predictions about the dangers of personal electronics. In the book, protagonist Guy Montag is married to a woman who blocks out the world by listening to a thimble-sized seashell radios that fit in her ears. One notable passage reads, quote, his wife stretched on the bed, uncovered and cold, like a body displayed on the lid of a tomb, her eyes fixed to the ceiling by invisible threads of steel, immovable. And in her ears, the little seashells, the thimble radios tampered tight, in an electronic ocean of sound, of music and talk, and music and talk coming in on the shore of her unsleeping mind. The room was indeed empty. Every night the waves came in and bore her off on their great tides of sound, floating her, wide-eyed, toward morning. There had been no night in the last 2 years that Mildred had not swum that sea, had not gladly gone down it for the third time. Unquote. The novel portrays a future in which books are banned. It stands to reason that in this landscape, radio and television are not heroic characters, as they are part of the culture which eschews books and literature. Another line from Fahrenheit 451 describes a vomiting radio. Quote, the train radio vomited upon Montag in retaliation, a great tonload of music made of tin, copper, silver, chromium, and brass. The people were pounded into submission. They did not run. There was no place to run. The great air train fell down its shaft in the earth. Right here is an excerpt from one of those BBC radio dramas, Radio Bradbury 13. This is Night Call Collect. First aired April 9th, 1984, and introduced by Ray Bradbury himself.
This is Ray Bradbury. Join me for the next 30 minutes on a tour through time and space. Come along to the far future. Follow me into a strange past with stories that almost could be or might have been. Real or unreal, this is Bradbury 13. He sat silently. He sat, a man 80 years old. He sat in an empty house, on an empty street, in an empty town, on the empty planet Mars. He sat as he had sat for 60 years, waiting. Outside, a Martian wind raged, shaking the telephone poles and causing the wires to sing in chorus. Inside, on the table in front of him, lay a telephone that had not rung for a long, long time. Until now. Ray Bradbury's Night Call Collect.
The wind. That infernal wind never stops. Never leaves me a night's peace. Blowing through the wires all over town. It can't be. It's impossible. No, I'm alone in an empty house on an empty planet. No!
Barton? Barton, are you there?
Barton? Why, yeah, that's me.
Barton?
What?
Barton? Barton?
No, it can't be. It can't be. There. It's done. No. Not again. It's not possible. there.
Barton?
Yes, yes. Mrs. Barton.
Well, well. Do you know who this is?
Oh, what do you mean, who? The first call I've had in a lifetime, and you want to play games?
Oh, sorry. How stupid of me. Of course you wouldn't recognize your own voice on the telephone. Nobody ever does. It's like the first time you heard your voice recorded on a tape recorder. You were disappointed in the nasal, affected quality you heard.
What are you talking about?
Barton. This is Barton.
And this is Turn on the News. Free 103.9's radio show about radio. I'm Tom Rowe. You're just listening to an excerpt of Night Call Collect from Bradbury 13, a BBC radio production of a Ray Bradbury work. We also heard The Future of Audio from a U.S. congressional hearing from Wednesday, June 6th, earlier in the show. You can find out more at FREE103POINT9 or newsroom.free103.9.org about transmission art, radio art, and more.
The preceding show was produced by Free 103.9 at the WGXC Studios in New York.